Morning. Thank you again for your prayers. As you probably remember, we were in Dominican Republic for the last 3 weeks, and we want to express our gratitude and thankfulness for all of you who were praying and supporting in this mission trip, Christian, my son, and myself. One of the things that I enjoy in doing when I go to these mission trips is actually trying to connect with people and seeing people getting close to Jesus. To me, that's the most important part. Because in reality, if you want to build something, or if you want to put a block or do any kind of construction, you can do it here in the U.S. too. So you don't have to travel 2,000 miles to this faraway country. However, the reason that moves us to do these things and continue moving us to do these things is because we feel that we can go and share with others about what God is doing in our lives. And that, to me, is more valuable. It was a very interesting experience. When Christian came back, I think he will be here for April 8. We will want to do like a small PowerPoint presentation. I will show you the churches and the places and the things that we were doing. And I will tell you this, the Lord was really good. Nobody was sick, with an exception of a few people. Among one of them was me. And it was only for a few days. When you talk to the locals in there, they let you know, don't drink the water. You know, so we didn't drink the water, but I used it, you know, to brush my teeth. And I thought, well, the amount is enough. I don't think it will be unsafe if you brush your teeth when the water, well, it was run. It's unsafe. So even little amounts of water, and they explained to me, it's because the water there, the same way that they collect it from the rivers or lake, they pump it through the system. There's no purification at all. So no Clorox and nothing. It's just pure poison right there. So some people there, they drink the water and they are fine, but they, I guess their systems have been used to all these nice animals in there, you know. I don't know. Different systems, they are stronger. The food is different too. You know, the first day I told my wife, well, we get a nice dish with rice, beans, and plantains. You know, and the second day we get rice, beans, and plantains, which is good, you know. But after 10 days of eating rice, beans, and plantains, you start wondering, well, this is something else. And it was. You know, they brought yuca, which is another, like a root. And it's because people eat a lot of carbs. And, you know, that's how they fill up their stomachs. They don't have money to buy anything expensive, you know. And whatever fruit is in season, that's what they will eat. And a lot of challenges, I'm telling you that. So that makes you more appreciative of the things that the Lord give you here at home. You know, and we are grateful. It was a good experience. One thing that I want to share, and I will move to my sermon, is that one night I was preaching there, and the title of my sermon was, What's Going On Here? That was the title in English for my sermon. And I was ready to preach my sermon, and then we have a shooting in front of the church. Somebody was trying to rob another person, and this other person started defending himself. And the thing is, the church always had the doors open, and when the deacons noticed that there was a problem there, with guns and everything, they run back to the church and close the doors. And I had people in my church, instead of, you know, going down and hiding, they were running out of the church to the street. You know, I said, why are you doing that? It's because they want to see and find out what happened. So I explained that you never do that, you know, and especially in a situation like this, because you can get killed. But the Lord was good. Nobody was hurt. A small city, but it's violence too. You know, sin is everywhere. But God protect us and bless us, and we come back safe. Nobody was hurt. It was a beautiful experience. I want to show you some pictures. The people there, very lovely, good people, kind people. They were asking about you guys. Say, oh, the church said hello to you. So they are sending their greetings to you too. Please open your Bibles in the book of Luke, chapter 7. Chapter 7, Luke 7. Today, as you notice, we have communion service. And communion is a special occasion for me, and it should be a special occasion for everybody. It's an opportunity when we get close to the Lord and renew our vows and ask for forgiveness. Amen? So Luke 7, tell a very interesting story. This story is found in Matthew and in Luke. I think it's Matthew 8 and Luke 7. But I select Luke because the details are a little more extended. And so this story about this Roman soldier, a centurion. And the story have some interesting things that I think we should pay attention in this morning. So let's start reading our Bibles in Luke 7:1. Now, when he concluded all these sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal him, heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was the servant, for he loves our nation and he has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went in, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, Lord, you don't trouble yourself, for I am not worthy of you that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I don't even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man placed under authority, and having soldiers under me, I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus hears these things, he marveled at him, and turned around, and say to the crowd that follow him, I say to you, I have not found such a great faith, nor even in Israel. And those who were then returning to the house found the servant well, who had been sick. So it's a short story, but it's a beautiful story. So in the story, you find a situation. What is the situation? This soldier have a servant that is sick, right? Keep in mind several things. What kind of personality do a centurion have? How do you picture this gentleman here? Very disciplined. How you guys have the experience to be when a sergeant in the army or when somebody who has been in the armed forces? Normally they tend to follow the rules really closely. Very strict, right? Very disciplined. So I want you to picture somebody like that. However, some things were different in this gentleman, right? Number one, he was a person who had fear of God. A foreigner God. He was Roman. And he was fearful of the God of the Jews. So somehow God was working in this man's heart, and he was receiving the knowledge of the true God. The second thing that I want you to remember is that this man had compassion, because he was concerned for a servant. A servant and a slave, they were really close. Now, for the Romans, slaves, they didn't have a lot of value. In Roman times, in Jesus' times, it was estimated that for every citizen free of the Roman Empire, it was 4 slaves. So slaves were everywhere, and they were used as a property, and you can do pretty much whatever you want with your slaves. They belong to you. If you want to kill them, that was fine with the law, because they were no human beings. They were objects that belonged to you. Now, the story say that this soldier, who was used to give orders and to receive orders, was very interested in helping this man. Why? Jesus was connecting with the centurion, and the centurion was interested in helping his servant. The question is why? Why the centurion was concerned with his servant? They give you like an idea of compassion, empathy, right? Somebody that you love and that you care, and that when you are working with somebody like that, it gives you an idea of how much he cared for other people. Now, I was mentioned at the beginning that God was working in this human being, because although he was a Roman, growing in a city with a lot of pagan gods, and on top of that, he was a soldier, and most of the soldiers, they didn't have a lot of morals. You know, they were trained to go and destroy and kill, and whoever didn't listen to them, they will put it under control. And now here you find somebody like that, but with concern for a slave. So that says a lot about this man. On top of that, he was a very generous person. He was concerned with the Jews, you remember? And he was helping them to build like a small synagogue or a small church where they congregate in this town, in Capernaum. So what was the reason that the elders come to Jesus? Because they thought that this man was worth it, right? And why he was worth it, of receiving help from Jesus? Because the things that he has given them. And it's interesting that people in occasions consider others worth it because how they behave and how they do things for God, right? So, how God considers people worth it? Why you are worth it of God? What made you special? Have you constructed any churches? Have you give huge amounts of money to the God's cause? No. When we start thinking about that, none of that kind of like qualifying to this situation. So why Jesus was responding to this man's pleading? I think God, and especially Jesus, was trying to answer this man's prayer because he wanted to give him an opportunity to know more about God. Now, Capernaum was a very interesting city, located in the north part of the country, and anyone who crossed through Israel going to Egypt had to pass through that city. And anyone going out of Israel to the north, like Greece or Rome or the Middle East, they had to pass through that city too. The main roads go near this big city. So Jesus' ministry is centered in that place for a reason. Because if these people hear the message, they will take the message to the different places and nations and start telling others about Jesus. And I think Jesus had a double purpose here. Not only he wanted to bless the man, the servant, but also he wanted to bless the centurion, making his faith stronger. In the book of Acts, you find in the chapter 10, that Peter was sent to talk to a Roman soldier. You remember that? And what was Peter's answer to this petition when God sent him there? He go joyful, you know, and rejoicing and talk to this man? No. His answer was, for a Jewish man to enter in the house of somebody that doesn't belong to Israel was something degrading. In fact, many of the teachers in Israel, they will tell you, if you get in contact with somebody who doesn't belong to Israel, only touching this person will make you unclean. Picture this. For them, touching somebody that it wasn't part of the people of Israel, you know, a human being, only a casual contact in the street, it's kind of like wrestling with a pig. How appealing is that to you? They tell you, well, after church, we need to go and get some pigs and clean them. How that will make you feel? No attractive, right? So that's how they feel about other people. How you guys see a stray dog? In Aiken, we don't have many stray dogs, but in Dominican Republic, in the town that we were, they had so many stray dogs, Gene. Little ones, big ones, and you don't know what kind of dogs they were. You know, they were so mixed up that, you know, there were dogs everywhere. And I remember one of the kids was trying to pet one of these dogs, and she grabbed a stick and started touching the dog, you know, like that. And I explained her, be careful, because I'm probably 90% sure that this dog doesn't have a rabies vaccine. And if you get bitten by one of these animals, then you got to go, regardless of if the dog has rabies or not, you have to go for the treatment, you know. And if you want to know more about the rabies treatment, Gabriela will explain you how pleasant it is. So I was telling the kids, you know, be careful when the stray dogs and when the animals over there. So for the Jewish people, getting close to somebody that doesn't belong to Israel it was like that. It was an experience that they didn't look forward, that didn't want anything to do with anyone. It doesn't belong to Israel. You remember the prayer that they used to do every morning, right? The male Jewish person will say, "Thank you, Lord, for life. Thank you because I am an Israelite. Thank you because I am a man. And thank you because I am not a foreigner," right? They didn't want to be associated with people outside Israel. And so this soldier, realizing the situation, didn't want to bother Jesus to the point to getting close to him and maybe making unclean. So that's why he talked to others. "Please go and talk to Jesus." What he knew about Jesus is only what other people had told him about Jesus. What other people tell him about Jesus is that Jesus had the power to cure, to heal sick people, right? So after he begged his friends and tell him, "Can you go and talk to him and ask him to heal my servant?" The friends go and behalf of him start talking to Jesus and asking, "Lord, can you do something in behalf of this man? He's a good man. He's worth it." Now, when you read in verse 6, he's very honest also. He say, "I'm not worthy of what? That you entering under what? My roof." Probably he have a decent house, and I don't know what kind of house he was living, but it wasn't, the problem wasn't the house. I want you to realize that. The problem wasn't the house, the problem was himself. He realized that he didn't belong to Israel, and that he was asking something not only from this God, that it wasn't his God, but for a prophet that doesn't belong to his people. Now, do people in Israel love to pray for foreigners? No. They always pray for his people first. And you remember in the Bible you had several encounters when Jesus had to deal with foreigners. In one occasion, he's talking to a woman and he used the illustration that it's better to give your bread to your children instead of to the dogs. Do you remember that? Well, Jesus put it in a more mild way. He said, to the little dogs. But even at that point, that woman was so interesting that she said, "Lord, but even the little dogs eat the little pieces of bread that fall from the table. Help me. I know you are calling me a dog, but have mercy on me." When you realize that, then you have to realize that these people were special. Their love for God is unique. It's different. It's not like surrounded by pride like the Jewish. It's somebody who look at himself and consider himself unworthy, but however, he's going close to this preacher and asking, "Please do something for me." And that's why Jesus marveled about this man's faith. Because he is not expecting a signal. He is not expecting anything. The only thing that this man is requesting is what? "You say something. And I know that whatever you say, it will happen." That's impressive, you don't think? When you read in the Bible, the title of the sermon, by the way, today, it was intentional, right? If you read your bulletins, it say, "Faith like a what? Like a coconut seed." Now again, that we were in the Dominican Republic, they take us to this place where they were growing coconut trees. How long it requires for a person to collect coconuts after they plant the coconut tree? Between 10 to 14 years. It takes a long time to start getting coconuts. And what is the seed of the coconut? The coconut, the whole thing, without removing the seed or shell. And how big a coconut can be? Yeah, this size, right? I'm sorry I didn't bring a coconut. They are not that easy to find here, but I want to illustrate you. But they are big. Now, Jesus is saying in Matthew, remember the last time that I was preaching here, I was telling about the father who get his son healed. And at the end of the conversation, the disciples asking why we weren't able to heal him. And he said, "Well, if you had faith like a grain of mustard, you can ask anything and it will be possible, because for God, nothing is what? Nothing is impossible." So the grain of mustard is a really tiny what? Tiny seed. It's just a minuscule little thing that you can put in your hand and barely see it there. So you don't think it's amazing that Jesus, instead of using a mustard seed, he could say, "If you have faith like a coconut, then you can ask for things." Now, when you compare a mustard seed with a coconut seed, the difference is obvious, right? You can put thousands of mustard seeds in a coconut and it's still space in there. Because they are really small. So my appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, church family, is this. Today we are celebrating communion. We had grape juice and bread here. They are just symbols. The difference is in your faith. And what God is asking us to do is have a little faith, right? That these symbols have the power to renew your spiritual life, to give you new growing, to give you new faith, new enthusiasm about the spiritual things. Have you ever feel tired, spiritually speaking? A little drain, like you think, I need to reconnect with God. The more that you get associated with other human beings, the more drained up you become. It's interesting, right? It's like you are giving and giving and giving. You get to a point that you need to go back to the one who's giving you. Because you dry up. You know, you need this encounter with Jesus. So communion is something like that. Communion is our opportunity to get closer to Jesus and say, Lord, I need forgiveness. I need your company. And I need you to help me to renew my faith. Right? And I'm being noticing, and don't think I'm blind or oblivious, that when we had communions, something happened in my church. What happened in my church? Well, we had more people visiting other churches. You know, sudden trips and different situations. And I want to be positive and say, well, you know, different reasons. I'm really grateful that you are here today. So I want you to enjoy this blessing the way I'm planning to enjoy it too. The only God is asking us is to have a little what? A little faith. In the same way that this Roman soldier was approaching Jesus with faith, I want you to look at these symbols today and approach him with faith and say, Lord, help us. As a church, we need help. Amen? We are living in very difficult times, I'm telling you. Not only from outside, the things that make me more sad is the problems that we have in inside as a church. And I'm not speaking of Aiken only, I'm speaking about the church globally. You see so many challenges in so many countries and so many things, and it's amazing, you know, like how we will be able to solve all these problems. And the answer is, I don't know. I know that we serve a God that had the power to do everything, but for God, nothing is impossible. Amen? So today, please, get close to God with confidence. Renew your relationship with God. Asking Him to help you to continue growing, to be a faithful witness in this community. Amen? Heavenly Father, we ask you for your blessing and we ask you for your company. Lord, forgive our sins and help us to approach this communion service with faith. And in the same way that this soldier was getting close to Jesus, we ask you, Lord, to speak to us, to recreate a new heart in our lives and change us. We need that in Jesus' name. Amen.